I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Week 15 tonight, we get a couple of heavyweights, the Chiefs and the Chargers, Arrowhead, and of course the Birdman Iron Eagle is going to be on the call there. Thursday Night Football Preview is brought to you by the new 2018 Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't raise the bar, it is the bar, and joining us to preview the game, but also flash back to that wild, wacky finish in Miami, which he had on CBS. The aforementioned Iron Eagle. What up, Bird? How are you today?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Awesome to talk to you. And let's be honest. I mean, if you weren't on top of your game, man, you could have looked really bad at the end of that finish because I don't know what the hell was going on. I want to play it for everybody, and then I want you to walk us through it, the mechanics, what you saw, what you were thinking, when you first thought he could actually bring it to the house. So let's play this. This is the ending of the Dolphins and the Pats Sunday on CBS.
Tannehill will throw it, and this will end it after the shovel, or will it? Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle! Touchdown! Oh, Kenyon Drake! A miracle! Miraculous in Miami! Stills to Parker, to Drake, a lateral heard round the world.
All right, first of all, phenomenal job, and there's more to it because Fouts waited the proper amount of time. He laid out, you laid out, of course, doing TV, different than radio. You want to let the images tell the picture. What in the world were you thinking? What were you seeing? Take us through what was in your head at that moment.
Yeah, the general feeling at the end of the game, we've seen this. How many times over the course of NFL history? Desperation time, lateral, oftentimes illegal forward pass, lineman somehow getting his hands on the football, multiple flags, and then an anticlimactic ending with the official coming out and saying, penalty's on the play, the game is over. That's the norm. This was so crisp and clean and caught everybody by surprise, including yours truly. My general thought process was, all right, they're going to bunch up on the sideline. Let me go into post-game mode, which is headlines. Patriots going to the playoffs for the 10th straight year, NFL record. Patriots win the AFC East for the 10th consecutive year, NFL record. Patriots figure out a way to win in South Florida, something they haven't been able to do for most of the last 5 years. That's where my head is at. Obviously, things changed very dramatically once Drake began to loop back towards the inside, and the acknowledgement at that point that Rob Gronkowski was the last line of defense in a position that he doesn't play. He's not a natural tackler. That's not where his instincts come in. And it was this perfect storm for the great Drake escape to victory. Really incredible. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like it again in the NFL, just how clean it was and how easy they made it and routine they made it look.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I look at this play, Ian, and I see, obviously, Kenyon Drake and this weaving route that he takes. But more importantly, I'm looking at the defenders, and I'm saying principally, you guys are half-assing it, right? Yeah. I forget what number 27 for the I can't remember what his name is. He's kind of just lollygagging behind Kenyon Drake. And then the other DB who's getting blocked as he comes around him, he's kind of like, okay, somebody's going to – it's like they were all waiting for somebody else to make the play. And then you realize, as you just said, that last guy to make the play is Rob Gronkowski, who's a compromised athlete.
It looked like he was 90 at that point.
I'm telling you, that was crazy. Emotional win, obviously, for the Dolphins. But more importantly, it keeps the Dolphins in the playoff hunt. I mean, as crazy as it sounds and as bad as they've looked over the course of this year at times, they still have a shot here.
Yeah, I don't want to overstate it, but considering what the alternative was, which would have been 6-7 going on the road to Minnesota, and the margin of error would be nil. Forget about where they are now at 7-6 with a chance, with a pulse, with some winnable games in front of them. They've got Minnesota, they've got Jacksonville, they've got Buffalo, the rest of their schedule. They have this emotional win, And the question now, is this a launching pad? Is this a footnote? No matter what, whatever happens this season, this play will live on. 10 years from now, people will talk about it. 20 years from now, and so on, because you just don't see it that often, certainly not at this level where everybody is buttoned up and you're fully prepared for moments like this. For it to happen to the Patriots in the way that it did adds another layer to it. And the fact that it does resuscitate Miami's season, all of a sudden, this could be a moment that we look back on and say, this changed their team. This may have changed the course of their franchise with Gase, with Tannehill, and with them making some larger scope decisions down the road based on their results of 2018.
Yeah, and Ian, you hit on something really interesting. The symbolism, at least pertaining to the Patriots. I mean, you've called a lot of Patriot games against the Jets over the years. Pats Dolphins, Pats Bills on CBS. I mean, rarely have so many players been so woefully out of position, and that did not reflect well on Belichick.
And also, BT, the game itself, if you look back on it, they were apparently going to squeeze out a victory against Miami, and that would have put them in a position to stay alive for the number one seed. But there were moments along the way that were very unpatriot-like. Missed extra point, Gostkowski. Missed field goal, Gostkowski. Tom Brady misusing the clock at the end of the first half where he absorbs a sack and they had no timeouts and they can't get the field goal unit out there in a play where he normally just throws the ball away and they attempt a field goal. So even the end of the game sequence where if one other thing goes their way, they get a first down via the run, they go into victory formation. They don't even kick the field goal with Gostkowski. They never kick off to Miami. Dolphins had no timeouts left. So this chain of events, this domino effect that normally works against other teams that New England plays, actually affected them. That's the oddity of this game. And, yeah, let's see what Miami can do with it now. This gives them legitimate breathing room and second life to maybe do something with this season.
Well, listen, take that call and put it in the bird vault, and it's a pretty big vault. All the great the bird vault. You like that?
I do like that.
The bird vault, just a sublime call right there. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it with so many moving parts and to so abruptly shift what was centrally on your mind that you described before pertaining to the Pats to do that. That's why you're Ian Eagle, and I know you're humble. Don't even respond. It was phenomenal. We got Ian Eagle with us here on Tiki and Tierney. All right, Chiefs Chargers tonight. Tiki, I know you wanted to get into that.
Damian Williams and Justin Jackson are the likely breadwinners behind the quarterbacks. What can you tell us about them? Because most people don't know a lot about them. I don't know a lot about either one of these guys with these starting running backs all banged up, and really the second team guys banged up for both of these teams. The quarterbacks are the story, we all know it, but these guys could have a big impact. What can you tell us about Williams and Justin Jackson?
Yeah, let's start with Damian Williams. He was signed to a very modest deal, 1 year, $1.2 million from Miami. A good third down back, a solid receiver, came out of college, Oklahoma, as an undrafted free agent, so this is not someone that was earmarked for automatic stardom in the NFL. He's worked hard to stay in the league. He's well thought of in the Kansas City locker room. I just don't think they ever thought they would hit this week with this division title potentially at stake and the responsibility on Damian Williams. Obviously, we know what happened with Kareem Hunt. We've covered that in the past. He's no longer on the team. Spencer Ware, who was the leading rusher a couple of years ago before Hunt ever came on the scene, they were hoping that he would be able to shoulder the load. But he had a serious knee injury. So the idea that Ware could be a 22-carry guy, I'm not sure the Chiefs ever believed that. They were looking to split carries between him and Williams. So Williams was already getting a lot of touches. He played a lot of snaps last week, and now they're asking him to do more. As for Justin Jackson, he's a rookie out of Northwestern. He's the all-time leading rusher in Northwestern football history. He was a seventh-round pick. He had an injury in training camp, and that set him back to the point where a fellow rookie, Detrez Newsome, passed him on the depth chart out of Western Carolina, undrafted free agent. Jackson worked his way back into the rotation when he came back physically. He's agile. He's pretty slippery. He's elusive, decent out of the backfield as a pass catcher. But again, they're asking him to do a lot now. Between Gordon and Eckler, those two covered so many bases for Phillip Rivers and often were safety valves for Rivers. There's no possible way Jackson can take on what those two do. They hope that he's solid in pass protection, and he's got a little burst. We saw it a couple of weeks ago. He's very capable. Now he's dealing with pressure. This is a big stage tonight.
It's going to be. It's really. I can't wait for this game. And Ian, of course, has it on Westwood One. Ian Eagle with us here. His weekly spot, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Bird, final thing for me. I used the word symbolism before about the Pats and how they were so disjointed and out of whack on that final play, which is something you never see from a Belichick team. I think there's some symbolism tonight for Phillip Rivers as well. And I said this to Tiki in the first hour. I'm certainly not asking you to make a prediction. I know you do in the game. But forget about point spreads. On a lot of levels, I feel like the Chargers are kind of supposed to win this game because they haven't had Bosa. Now they have him. We talked about Hunt. He's been stripped away from what the Chiefs do. And the symbolism for Rivers is if he doesn't find a way to crack through this year or the next year, forget about his age alone, which is ultimately a deterrent. Patrick Mahomes is about to have this thing on lockdown for the next 10 years in the AFC West. Mm-hmm. It's time to win this game, Chargers.
Yeah, it's a great point. They've lost 9 straight to Kansas City. So just put that and store it away somewhere. Andy Reid has had the Chargers number. But this is a different L.A. team. I did the first game, week one, and I think they were surprised at just how good Patrick Mahomes was. Everybody knew about the buildup. We knew about the arm angles. We knew about the sheer talent. But would it translate consistently, Sunday to Sunday to Sunday? It has. He's the MVP of the league this year. With that said, BT, I think you make a valid point. This is the time for Los Angeles. This is a quality football team. They've been consistent on their offensive line. And I look at that often around the NFL. Have you been stable in that part of your team? They have. They've had the same starting offensive line for 11 of their 12 games. Most teams cannot say that. He's got weapons, Phillip Rivers. And the one last caveat I would throw in there, guys, because of their home field situation, I think they are hardened a bit that going on the road or playing at home, the line is blurred so much that it doesn't really matter. Rivers is used to noise when he's running a 2-minute drill because he's got half the stadium in L.A. filled with the opposing team. It's put them in a different position where they've rallied around it. They've handled it well. They've answered all the questions the right way. But I think behind the scenes, they've used it as a rallying cry. And I would tend to agree with you. This is a game where the Chargers could make a little noise and remind people that they're for real. And they could still get the one seed.
I know.
It's not out of the realm of possibility.
Hey, I know. Listen, we can't necessarily quantify how they're hardened, but I agree with you. It's not a tangible thing, but I believe you're on point, and that's something that Tiki and I have brought up over the years. So, listen, this should be fireworks throughout, MVPs on the line, top seeds, divisional. This is what it's all about. Have a great call. Outstanding job at the end of that Dolphins game. Great work, man.
Yeah, guys, thanks so much. Really excited for tonight. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, buddy. And he's got the Vikings and the Dolphins coming up on Sunday. So Bird is busy, as you would imagine. Find out which O-line is the Bill Ford Tough Offensive Line of the Week, brought to you by the Ford F-150, the official truck of the NFL. Doesn't just raise the bar, it is the bar.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.